And this is Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash.
CNN shamefully bows to right-wing mob in firing of analyst Mark Lamont Hill after his UN speech calling for equal rights for Palestinians.
Let's listen to some of what Mark Lamont Hill had to say.
While the Universal Declaration for Human Rights says that all people are, quote, born free and equal in dignity and rights, the Israeli nation state continues to restrict freedom and undermine equality for Palestinian citizens of Israel, as well as those in the West Bank and Gaza. At the current moment, there are more than 60 Israeli laws that deny Palestinians access to full citizenship rights, simply because they're not Jewish. From housing to education to family reunification, it is clear that any freedoms naturally endowed to all human beings are actively being stripped away from Palestinians through Israeli statecraft. So as we stand here on the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the tragic commemoration of the Nakba, we have an opportunity to not just offer solidarity in words, but to commit to political action, grassroots action, local action, and international action that will give us what justice requires, and that is a free Palestine from the river to the sea.
We're joined now by Ali Abonima, founder of the Electronic Intifada, whose books include One Country, A Bold Proposal to End the Israeli-Palestinian Impasse, and The Battle for Justice in Palestine. And he said recently, now this is precisely the message Israel and its lobby are most terrified of, because it resonates with ordinary people. That is why they smear and defame people who call for justice and equality. And it is an extreme pleasure to have you, and we are addressing ourselves to the issue of CNN abruptly firing Temple University professor, political commentator, and Black Lives activist Dr. Mark Lamont Hill, after he was falsely smeared as anti-Semitic for his testimony at the United Nations. Ali, again, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Certainly, you've seen this before. It is part of the strength of the Israeli lobby, which forms a kind of censorship mob anytime there is any advocacy for Palestinians. But your specific thoughts on the importance of this particular situation, then also some of what you've uncovered, which can be seen in the Electronic Intifada, about other ways the Israeli lobby and Israeli government have worked to slander people who are advocates of Palestinian rights.
I think that what has happened with Mark Lamont Hill is really part of a pattern, but it is really an extraordinary case in and of itself. I referred to it in an article I wrote as a political lynching. And I know that the term lynching is a very fraught term and one we should not use lightly given its history. But I thought it was appropriate in this case because what we've seen is that Israel and its lobby consider black solidarity with Palestine to be one of the most dangerous threats to the pro-Israel consensus, because black people and black Americans have a sense of justice, have a sense of what resistance means, have a sense of what it means to suffer. And those are all things that Mark Lamont Hill mentioned in his UN speech. He talked about the history of American slavery and apartheid and Jim Crow, and the resistance against them, and how that resistance was not always nonviolence in the mold of Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr., but that resistance took many forms. So what we saw was really an attack on Mark Lamont Hill that surpasses the viciousness that we've seen even against other people. He was very quickly fired by CNN, but it didn't stop there. There have been demands that he be fired from his tenured teaching position at Temple University. And he has been publicly smeared and calumnied as an anti-Semite. There have been claims that he called for genocide of the Jews. All of this is outright lies. anyone who listens to his speech or reads his speech, and we posted the video of it at the Electronic Intifada, will not find a single word of bigotry or anti-Semitism, let alone a call for genocide. This was a humane speech calling for justice and putting the Palestinian struggle into the broader context of human struggle for freedom. And that precisely is what is so unforgivable in the eyes of Israel and its lobby and the U.S. elites who support it.
And of course, this is a specific, it is a particularly egregious case, but there's also a context that we've been operating in. And I want you to talk some about what has, for example, happened to advocates of the BDS movement and anyone who has taken a stand in sympathy and consideration of the abuses of the Palestinian people. And of course, there are very specific people whose teaching jobs, etc., have been at risk.
That's exactly right. And what we saw in the case of Mark Lamont Hill, to go back to that for a moment, was that the attacks on him were not just by a few individuals. They were coming from top operatives of the Israel lobby, people like Avi Meir, who is a major central figure in pro-Israel propaganda online, and significantly Adam Milstein, who is an Israeli-American multimillionaire who is one of the top funders of anti-Palestinian groups and groups like Canary Mission, a website that smears students and educators who advocate for Palestine in an effort very explicitly to prevent them from getting jobs by putting up websites that call them terrorist lovers and Islamic extremists and anti-Semites, so that, you know, if you search for their name online and you're an employer, you're going to say, well, I don't want that person working at my company. Just last month in November, the Electronic Intifada published the entire film, The Lobby USA, an undercover investigation that had been made by Al Jazeera at great expense and effort, exposing how this is a very well-orchestrated campaign run by the Israeli government, with a number of American organizations and individuals acting as unregistered agents for Israel in a campaign to spy on, surveil, and intimidate and attack Americans, particularly students and educators who organize for Palestinian rights. Al Jazeera, however, did not broadcast this documentary because Qatar, which funds Al Jazeera, came under pressure from this self-same Israel lobby. So we started publishing leaks of the film back in August, and when Al Jazeera didn't broadcast the film and we concluded that they were not going to, we decided that it was in the public interest to make the entire film available. And I encourage people to watch it because it really, far better than I can paint a picture in a few words in a short interview, that film will show people how it is a concerted effort. And people can just Google, search for the film The Israel Lobby Did Not Want You to See. That's the name of the article on the Electronic Intifada, where we published the entire film and people can watch it.
And I have to say, having watched it, it is chilling. It is frightening. It is absolutely the insidiousness of the way things ensue to try to destroy freedom of expression and speech, which almost only would happen at this juncture in relationship to people who speak out for a free, free Palestine, is just terrifying and must be watched.
I mean, what's incredible here is that this was a huge story. The fact that Al Jazeera made this film, the fact that it was suppressed, the fact that Qatar invited top figures from the Israel lobby to Doha to meet with the emir, including the head of the Zionist Organization of America, this has got almost no coverage in the mainstream media. Independent media like the Electronic Intifada have covered it. Israeli media, ironically, have covered it a little bit. But the New York Times, the Washington Post, forget about it. There's nothing there. The so-called resistance media, CNN, nothing. Now, just imagine if this had been a film about Russian interference or Russian spying on U.S. citizens or Russians intimidating and fabricating allegations against American professors because they were speaking out. You know, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, CNN, they would have been all over it. But there has been total silence about this film. I urge people to watch it because the evidence in this film far surpasses anything that has so far come out about supposed Russian interference in the U.S. election. We're talking about an orchestrated campaign where you have in this film top Israeli government officials say, we have the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, an American neoconservative organization, helping us to gather information about American citizens. The Israel on Campus Coalition talks about how they're using sophisticated software, basically, to scoop up all the social media that comes out to look for any comments on Israel and go after people who take part in campaigns. In the film, you'll see an interview with Bill Mullen, a professor at Purdue University, who was targeted by these tactics. Fake websites were put up accusing him of sexual harassment, totally false charges. But it was done by pro-Israel groups to discredit him because he's been a leading campaigner in the campaign for an academic boycott of Israel. We have young Muslim women on campuses who had websites put up claiming that they were going out drinking and sleeping with men on campus and so on and so forth. And again, this was done by pro-Israel advocates to scare and intimidate them into silence. Have we heard anything even remotely similar being done by Russia or supporters of Russia in this country? We haven't. But supporters of Israel are doing this, and the Israeli government is involved in it, and we have total silence from the mainstream.
And supporters of Israel, the Israel lobby in the U.S., not only take issue with what Lamont Hill says about what's going on in Palestine, but they say that he is anti-Semitic for standing up for the equal rights of Palestinians within Israel. That also happens in other places also, correct?
Yeah, and this is what's important about this, is the context here is the changing political landscape in the United States, and we see a similar phenomenon in Europe and Canada and Australia and other parts of the so-called West, where for a long time support for Israel was an across-the-board political consensus, left, right, support for Israel, Democrat, Republican, they all supported Israel. What has happened in the U.S. in recent years, and this is borne out by poll after poll, is that on the left and among liberals in the U.S., support for Israel is collapsing. Now, I am not talking about Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and the elite of the Democratic Party. They all support Israel. What I'm talking about is the base, the people who identify as liberal, who identify as Democratic voters, have moved away from Israel in droves. And you see that shift to support for Israel becoming primarily a right-wing issue. And the strongest support for Israel in this country is not among American Jews. It is among white, older Christian Zionists. So you see support for Israel more and more resembling the base of the Republican Party, and particularly the base of Donald Trump. It means that Israel, you know, if the right wing loses, Israel goes down with it. If there is a new majority coalition in America, which is made up of left-wing people, people of color, women, and so on, that is not a pro-Israel coalition. So Israel is becoming more and more desperate. So the tactic now is to try to label any criticism of Israel, even criticism of Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, as being anti-Semitism. And this is a shift, because until a few years ago, Israel and its advocates would say, well, criticism of Israel isn't anti-Semitic in and of itself, but we think many of the critics are motivated by anti-Semitism that they won't admit to. Now there's been a subtle but important shift where they come out outright and say, actually, any criticism of Israel is inherently anti-Semitic. And what we see now is efforts to legislate this. We've seen it in 25 states where various bills or measures have passed to try to stigmatize or marginalize or punish criticism of Israel. And now we're seeing in Congress, it looks like they're going to try to push ahead with two bills that aim to shut down or stigmatize or define as anti-Semitism advocacy for Palestinian human rights.
But I want to also ask you, since it has largely been blocked out of the news, the situation on the ground in Gaza. Take us there and help us to supplement the news that has been blanked out of the papers and the mass media.
Well, Gaza is a ghetto. There's no other word for it. It's a ghetto. It's not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole to call it a concentration camp. There are 2 million people there, caged in. The vast majority of them are refugees from lands that are now in Israel, from which they were ethnically cleansed. They are not allowed to return home to their land solely because they are not Jewish, for no other reason. I mean, if they were Jews, Israel would tear down the fences and welcome them home. So we have to understand the fundamentally racial basis on which the Gaza ghetto was constituted. And for the past 11 years, Israel has subjected the Gaza ghetto to a horrific siege, which deprives people of the basics for a civilized life. The health system in Gaza has collapsed. The sanitation system has collapsed. For the past few years, people have had no more than a few hours of electricity per day. Unemployment in Gaza is the highest in the world. It's over 50%. It reaches 60% or 70% when you look at the youth population, who are the majority in Gaza. And then every few years, Israel subjects Gaza to horrific bombardment campaigns, which Israeli leaders call mowing the lawn. What have we seen since March of this year? We have seen a mass movement to break the siege, with people going to the ghetto fence to demonstrate their humanity, to resist. And Israel is shooting them dead in horrific numbers and maiming them in horrific numbers. More than 180 people have been killed at the fence. Every human rights group that has looked into this has said that not in one case has it been documented that any of the protesters who were shot by the Israeli army at the fence, by the snipers with their high-powered rifles, was armed. Not one of those protesters was armed. Israel has injured more than 24,000 people in Gaza since March. That is more than 1% of the entire population of Gaza, and thousands of them, more than 6,000, with gunshot wounds. Many will have lifelong disabilities because Israel is using exploding ammunition. And what is their crime? Their crime is they want to be free. Their crime is they don't want to live in a ghetto. And the world is silent about this. You know, if it was in any other place, if their enemy was not Israel, if it wasn't Israel subjecting them to this, there would be outcry. We would have celebrities speaking out for them. We would have all sorts of things. But they're silent. So what are Palestinians doing around the world is they're asking for solidarity in the form of boycott, divestment, and sanctions. A nonviolent movement to boycott the state that is doing this, the way people boycotted apartheid South Africa. And instead of supporting that, we see U.S. elite and European elites trying to marginalize and stigmatize and outlaw the BDS movement. I mean, what is boycott? It's what Rosa Parks, you know, the Montgomery bus boycott, is the same tactic Palestinians are calling for. In recent years, when we saw states like North Carolina passing bills discriminating against LGBTQ people, we saw people calling for boycotts. We saw companies saying, we won't go to North Carolina until they treat everyone equally. This is a legitimate tactic. But when it comes to Israel, all of a sudden, it's a form of terrorism. It's a form of anti-Semitism. Right, this horror in Gaza. I take the cue. I take the lead from the people there. If they have not given up, if they have hope, if they believe that struggle is still worth engaging in, then I do too. and I'm not going to give up either.
You know, in preparation for this show, I went on your website, Electric and Intifada, and I just thought there was just an amazing amount of information with nuanced arguments and reporting that I haven't seen anyplace else. So why don't you just spend a minute talking about that website and why people should go to it to keep abreast of the continuing situation.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'll just say quickly that, yes, please go to electronicintifada.net because I'm so proud of the work we do there. We have an incredible team. I am proud most of all of our reporters in Gaza. We do all our reporting in Gaza with young reporters who are there, who have grown up there, who know the context better than anyone else. And I believe, and the reason we do this is because we bring something that no one else is doing. You're not going to see it on CNN. You're not going to see it in the New York Times. You're not even going to see it in Democracy Now! Or in The Nation. There is really a gap when it comes to coverage of Palestine. And I'm just very, very proud of our team. We're fully independent. The reason we can say the truth is because no one can fire us. We're supported by our readers, like you're supported by your listeners. That gives us true independence.
So we're going to check in with the demonstration to build support for Mark Lamont Hill and always to build support for reading the Electronic Intifada, getting that information, and acting on it. Ali Abonima, thank you so much for the work that you do, for your commitment to internationalism, to the people of Palestine, and for all of us to be able to say free, free Palestine. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope you'll join us more often.
It will be my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And we're going to quickly see a couple of minutes that we get from a demonstration held this past weekend in front of CNN, which Ken Nash attended.
Right on the steps of the Columbus statue.
CNN, tell the truth! Don't let silence silence you! CNN, tell the truth! Don't let silence silence you!
We are here in support, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill, and we are outraged that CNN terminated Dr. Hill over his comments at the United Nations after he spoke out against Israel's oppression of the Palestinian people. Dr. Hill said everybody should be free from the river to the sea, and the Zionists got hurt. So they pressured CNN to silence the realist journalist that speaks for the people.
I want to invite Michael Letwin from Jews for Palestinians, Right of Return, and Labor for Palestine.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
Friends, 1 year ago, on April 4th, 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King, speaking at Riverside Church here in New York City, condemned the Vietnam War. And for that courageous position, he was vilified by the liberal mainstream media. If there was such a thing as CNN in 1967, they would have fired him. But it didn't stop him from connecting the oppression of people at home, of black people, of poor people, brown people, working class people, with the genocide being committed by the United States government against the Vietnamese people, calling all of Vietnam to be free. Now we're here, 51 years, almost 52 years later, in 2018, and Dr. Mark Lamont Hill, speaking in the spirit of Martin Luther King, has denounced Israeli apartheid, oppression, and called for all of Palestine to be free, from the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
And he's right. CNN is wrong. ADL is wrong. And he's being vilified, politically lynched, just the way Dr. Martin Luther King was in 1968. But just as Martin Luther King stood firm, so is Dr. Hill. Israel is not a people. It's a regime, an apartheid regime, that temporarily occupies the nation of Palestine. And being from the river to the sea means equality for all people. One democratic state throughout historic Palestine. From the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
Thank you.
I'm Zachariah with the Palestinian Youth Movement, New York chapter.
Yeah.
We love you. We're here because we are standing with Mark Lamont Hill. He's been a warrior for the justice movement in Palestine here in the United States. The truth that he spoke on CNN is the truth that we all believe. Every time that we watch CNN and see what they're saying about Palestine, we know what they're saying. We understand how Mark Lamont Hill used his platform to speak truth, and we are here to say thank you to him. We stand with him. The right to Palestinian sovereignty and existence has been and continues to be denied. And right of return of all Palestinians who have been displaced are made into refugees time and time again, outside and within the homeland. And the demand for all of historic Palestine to return to its indigenous population is not even a thought in the minds of colonizers, oppressors, and Israel apologists. Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
CNN, tell the truth! Don't let Zionists silence you!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
Please make some noise for PAM Africa, who came all the way from Philadelphia.
From the river.
From the river.
To the sea.
To the sea.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
We all came here because there's a need to be. Not only is there an attack on Mark Lamont Hill, but we got to look at the whole big picture. Since when did from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, a terrorist situation here? The Zionist is trying to stop the movement of resistance to murder, bombing, killing, locking up innocent people. What Zionism is doing here is what happened to the indigenous people of America.
Wake them up.
We have got to come together, organize more. They mean, I was at a meeting last night, and it wasn't about Mark Lamont Hill, but I made it about Mark Lamont Hill. And one of the people said, well, didn't he know that if he spoke up for Palestine on CNN that he will be fired? Mark knew that he must tell the truth. He went to Palestine. He had to go there and see for himself. When he came and he saw it, he came back. And he was organizing in Philadelphia and wherever he could to take people back so that they can see what was going on and give people the example of what we must do. Allow the voice of Mark Lamont Hill to try to silence, because they can't silence Mark Lamont Hill. They're organizing in Philadelphia. They're taking to the streets there. They're taking to the streets in other places. I see this as an organizing thing. Because one thing about Mark Lamont Hill, he don't bow down, he don't suck up. He's somebody. Mark has a movement behind him. He's building more and more. This is the beginning of a good fight.
Dr. Hill, you spoke the truth! Don't let Zionists silence you!
Dr. Hill, you spoke the truth! Don't let Zionists silence you!
That was from a demonstration in front of CNN, and they must rehire Mark Lamont Hill and not capitulate to the Israeli lobby. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.